माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरवनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरवनचारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परम प्रजगाचार्य अष्टकशत श्रीमदेसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परम प्रजगाचार्य अष्टकशत श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की। जय श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। हरे कृष्ण। वुड लाइक टू वेलकम डिवोटीज दिस मॉर्निंग। सो we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 5, text chapter 10, entitled Maharaj Rahuguna meets Jad Bharat, text 6. So this is a prose, as most of the verses here are in prose. So I'll just read the prose and then translation and purport. अहो कष्टं भ्रातर व्यक्तं उरु परिश्रांतो दीर्घं अद्वानां एक एव उहुवान सुचिरं नाति पीवा ना समहा अनानंगो जरसा चोप द्रुतो भवान सखे नो एवा परे एते संगति न इति बहु विप्रलब्धो अपि अविद्य अविद्यया। रचिता द्रव्य गुण क्रमाशया स्वचरम कलेवर अवस्तुनि संस्थान विशेष अहम ममेति अन्धयारोपित मिथ्या प्रत्ययो ब्रह्म भूतस्तुष्णीं शिबिकां पूर्ववद उवाह। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। किंग रहुगुण टोल्ड जड़ भरत, हाउ ट्रबलसम दिस इज माय डियर ब्रदर। यू सर्टेनली अपियर वेरी फटीग्ड बिकॉज यू हैव कैरिड दिस पैलेंक्विन अलोन विदाउट असिस्टेंस फॉर ए लॉन्ग टाइम एंड फॉर ए लॉन्ग डिस्टेंस। बिसाइड्स दैट, ड्यू टू योर ओल्ड एज यू हैव बिकम ग्रेटली ट्रबल्ड। My dear friend, I see that you are not very firm, nor very strong and stout. Aren't your fellow carriers cooperating with you? In this way, the king criticized Jada Bharat with sarcastic words. Yet, despite being criticized in this way, Jada Bharat had no bodily conception of the situation. He knew that he was not the body, for he had attained his spiritual identity. He was neither fat, lean, nor thin, nor had he anything to do with the lump of matter, a combination of five gross and subtle elements. He had nothing to do with the material body and its two hands and legs. In other words, he had completely realized his spiritual identity, Aham Brahmasami. He was therefore unaffected by this sarcastic criticism from the king. Without saying anything, he continued carrying the palanquin as before. Purport: Jada Bharat was completely liberated. He did not even care when dacoits attempted to kill his body. He knew that he certainly was not the body. Even if the body were killed, he would not have cared, for he was thoroughly convinced of the proposition found in Bhagavad Gita 2.20, Ina hanyate hanyamana sharire. He knew that he could not be killed even if his body were killed. Although he did not protest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his agent could not tolerate the injustice of the dacoits. Therefore, he was saved by the mercy of Krishna. And the dacoits were killed. In this case, while carrying the palanquin, he also knew that he was not the body. His body was very strong and stout, in sound condition and quite competent to carry the palanquin. Due to his being freed from the bodily conception, the sarcastic words of the king did not at all affect him. The body is created according to one's karma, and material nature supplies the ingredients for the development of a certain type of body. The soul of the body covers is different from the soul the body covers is different from the bodily construction. Therefore, anything favorable or mischievous done to the body does not affect the spirit soul. The Vedic injunction is Asango hui ayam purusha. The spirit soul is always unaffected by material arrangements. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuda padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathanvitam tamscha jivam साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण बादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुस्तुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So would like to welcome again devotees this morning. We are in this section where we are talking about Jada Bharat, who was in his previous lifetime a deer, and before that he was a king, after whom this whole earth planet was known as Bharat Varsha, after his name. जय श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन बिहारी भगवान की जय, श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की जय। सो ही हिज फादर वॉज एन इनकार्नेशन ऑफ द लॉर्ड लॉर्ड ऋषभ देव। सो इज हैविंग अ वेरी यूनिक लीनेज एंड ही हिमसेल्फ वॉज अ ग्रेट डिवोटी। आउट ऑफ 100 सन्स ही इज द एल्डेस्ट वन एंड दैट इज वॉट Rishabh Dev, his father, had recommended others to accept him as their leader, and that is how, under their subordination and other Brahmanas, he took over the kingdom in his previous lifetime as a Bharat. And after ruling the kingdom very nicely for a very long time, it's mentioned that it's almost like 1 crore years, he renounced everything and went to Pulha Ashram, which is in Himalayan areas, and started performing his renunciation and devotional activities unto the Lord, worshipping him throughout the day. So he is on a progressive stage of advancement in devotional service, and he is progressing, but through him, in a different perspective, Acharyas also and Bhagavatam also teaches us that how we need to be alert at every moment. So he happened to undergo a misplaced compassion on one deer out of circumstantial condition, and he got entangled. Although he was in a very superior position, he has reached a bhava stage. And in that verse, in the previous chapter, it's explained that he was almost like he has developed emotions for the Lord. It's not so easy to develop that. And he had like bodily symptoms, tears in his eyes, and his hairs used to stand on end. Some acharyas also give perspective that one needs to be very much alert about one's these kind of feelings also. He needs to be protective about these, because bhakti is like a diamond, and like there are a lot of anarthas, weeds still going along around. So even one may have those kind of feelings, he should not think of himself as advanced or something like that, because one may, you know, due to anarthas which are always there, end up becoming a hypocrite. So but it was not with that case, but that's one of the perspectives Acharya has also explained. And later, when he got entangled, towards his death, he remembered deer, and next lifetime he became a deer. But due to the mercy of the Lord, he had his previous remembrance of previous lifetime. So he further took on to devotional service, as it is mentioned that even a small progress on this path of devotion, one doesn't lose anything. Now, just like for any material endeavor, you have to complete it 100% to get the results. But for spiritual activity, wherever you stop it, it may be 1%, 10%, 50%. But in next lifetime, you pick up from there. So that's one of the principles of devotional service. So that's how he started as a deer life also, practicing devotional service. He again went back to the area of where the sages were practicing austerities and gradually performing his sadhana as a deer, remembering the Lord in his deer body, left his body again. And then, as we saw in this chapter and the previous chapter, he took birth as a in the family of a Brahmana. Bhagavad Gita also talks about this. Anyone, Arjuna expresses his doubts of someone who's taking to spiritual practice if he is distracted, as the example. No, Bhagavad Gita is a principle, and Bhagavatam talks about the examples, case studies of the principles and laws which are given in Bhagavad Gita. So, anyone who gets distracted from the path of devotion here eventually gets next life as a birth in a well-placed family where he can again very nicely practice. So that is Suchinam Srimatam Geham. So he took birth in a Brahmana family, and he was again remembering his past lives, and he was very much cautious. And this time again, to be alert, he led a life just like a dumb and deaf person, and not very much in sync with the normal practicing person. So, and then gradually he was his father who was caring to him. He left his body, and then no one was there to take his care. His brothers and other didn't have time and never thought of him taking that way. So they end up exploiting him, as a resource for their menial day-to-day tasks. And one incident comes that night time he was just like a watchman taking care of the fields, and there happens to be dacoits looking for a person for sacrificing, and he was taken. So although it's explained that he was very strong, stout, physically built, but he didn't resist it. He just went along and just lied down as a sacrificial entity before the goddess Durga. But it's explained that the Lord devotees are not like recognized, and they don't want to express. But here, Mother Durga, she immediately broke open the DT, came up outside, and she killed her own so-called dacoit devotees, and that is how he was protected that time. So even that time he didn't resist it, and then this chapter begins that then from there he went ahead, and there was one king, Rahuguna, who was traveling to one place, and on the way, out of four people who carry palanquin, one was less. So they happened to come across him, and they just his other servants got him to lift the palanquin along with them. But thing is that they were just walking, but he was very much cautious while walking also. He was seeing that some insects, ants, and others are coming. So he was stopping, halting, getting sideways. So that was actually disturbing the whole flow of the people, and it was creating a kind of uncomfortable situation for the person who was sitting. That was the king, Rahuguna. And he was getting disturbed. So he chastised his persons. So they mentioned that actually it is not we, but the fourth person who has come now is actually not cooperating. So the king understood. And then he starts speaking to Jad Bharat. So Jad Bharat is here. So it's explained like now this verse as we read, he is telling some words to him. It seems normal, but actually it's sarcastic words. Actually, he's trying to pull his leg or tease him or agitate him like that. But as purport and the translation itself says, he was sarcastic. So, and the purport explains that Jad Bharat, in his previous incident with being sacrificed, he remained undisturbed. So here also by, that was physical attack, but here it was like verbal. But he, it doesn't matter to him. So he remained aloof and unaffected. So, now the previous purport also, Prabhupada explains, the distinction between Rajoguna and Sattvaguna is explained through this example of Jada Bharat and Rahugana. Although the king was upright, King Rahugana was upright, advanced in political science and governmental management, he was nonetheless in the mode of passion. And therefore, due to slight agitation, he became angry. Whereas Jada Bharat, despite all kinds of injustice, he endured because of his deaf and dumb identity. He was like acting as deaf and dumb. That's the reason he could endure also, and others had no much options. And he remained silent by the strength of his spiritual advancement. So nonetheless, his Brahma Tejas, his Brahman effulgence was indistinctly visible in his person. So here we need to understand he had developed a lot of tolerance, and that, as Prabhupada mentions, comes with his spiritual advancement. So, now this is a whole proposition by Bhagavad Gita also, and initial Bhagavatam cantos also, that how one needs to be living in this world but remain unaffected, and for that tolerance is very important. You know, like it's a very long way to go. But Bhagavatam also nicely explains about it. So this one word in the very beginning, first canto itself, is used as Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta is a person who is staying in this world, acting, but he is not entangled. Now he is completely absorbed in the Lord, and also he is doing his day-to-day activities. So there are different analogies which are talking about a person who is known as Jivan Mukta. First of the analogy that comes is a dried coconut. So a dried coconut has his inner pulp detached from within. So although he is a whole assembly, but within he is detached. So if you shake the dry coconut, you can hear the pulp removed inside. So that's how, although he is in his body, but he is completely detached from its activities and actions. That is one of the examples given. And that helps one to cultivate tolerance and remain unaffected in the material world. This is also like explained in elsewhere, like someone having senses which are like snakes always, but without fangs, they are not having teeth. So that come with along with self-realization and detachment. And elsewhere also it's mentioned like that this person, that such kind of people are just like fried seed. You know, that seed which cannot reproduce anymore, karma, so that, something like that. He is having all his karmas burned with the fire, and they just look, his karmas just look like a cloth, an intact cloth, but it's just in an external appearance. If you go and touch it, it's just a heap of ash. So it's completely burned, but it just looks externally as still an intact cloth. So these are some indirect references mentioned in regard to someone who is staying in the material world, doing his day-to-day activities, but still remaining detached. And this is also a repeated theme in Bhagavatam, when in the first canto, in chapter 15, it's explained that how Pandavas retired timely. So it's explained that, of course, the first Yudhishthira Maharaj leaves, renounces, and everyone, all the other brothers follow, and later Draupadi also. So in the creation process, it's explained that how the Pradhan, Mahatattva, and other ingredients which come from the Lord come together to make gross, subtle body and senses and many other things. So that chapter explains that how Yudhishthir Maharaj internalized and went into reverse creation process, that he wound up his senses back into his subtle body into his into the modes, material modes, and then into nescience, and then back into Brahman. So it's little technical that way, but it's explaining that what is a person who is a Jivan Mukta, or it like here explained about Jad Bharat, he meditates and undergoes. So that purport, one of the purports explains that the material world is a product of Mahatattva Avyakta and things that are visible in our material visions and are nothing but combination and permutation of such variegated material elements. But the material entity is different from such material products. It is due to the living entity's forgetfulness of his eternal nature as eternal servitor of the Lord, and his false conception of being a so-called lord of the material nature, he is obliged to enter into the existence of false sense enjoyment. So, one is obligated to take a material body which is provided by nature, as it's explained, by permutation and combination of different elements. But the living entity in itself, he is different. And due to this wrong conception or forgetfulness or ignorance that he is part and parcel of the Lord and he wants to enjoy here, he gets entangled. That's mentioned. Thus, the concomitant generation of material energies is the principal cause of minds becoming materially affected. So, different material energies entangle the mind. Now, a very nice example comes in Dhruva Maharaj's section, that Dhruva Maharaj was very extremely disturbed when his brother was killed by Yakshas, and he wanted to actually completely kill the rays of Yakshas, and he was about to do that, but Manu Maharaj, his grandfather, he appeared, and he explains him an analogy. Just he was telling that actually what you think that Yakshas have done, actually they are not the doers, they are just instrument. Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes, and he is the one who has killed your brother. And that's a very in a way to say a confusing statement, no, like Lord is worshipable, my well-wisher, how can he do something wrong to in that way? So Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy in that regard, that everyone as such, you know, is acting as a instrument due to our previous karma, as an instrument which triggers our anger, lust, greed, you know, anarthas, and we end up becoming agitated and reacting. But Lord is the main cause, and of course it goes like our internal desire somewhere has been that which Lord is facilitating. So Prabhupada in the purport gives analogy of a power plant center, how it is a source of whole energy for a city. But when that energy passes from the power plant into the city, it is transformed into different forms, different natures. Something is transformed into, you know, a heating agent, something into cooling agent, something into lighting, and so many other things. So, although the Lord is source of everything, according to our karma, his agents acts as instrument, and that same energy, which although coming from the Lord has to be very agreeable, no, we find it very to say unwelcoming or disturbing. So it's that is how it is explained, and that is one of the ways Manu Maharaj tries to pacify and pacify Dhruva, who is very agitated because he is thinking yakshas are the cause and they have to be wiped off of the whole existence, and that pacifies him. So here also we see that how Lord is the cause, and there are different instruments coming into picture due to our own previous karmas. So the qualitative distinction of the body as being good, bad, or mediocre is extinguished and again becomes merged into the material energy which is produced from false sense of living being when one undergoes this purification process of devotional service. So when one is thus inclined to become the associate of the Lord in one of the planets in the spiritual sky, especially Golok Vrindavan, one has to think always that he is different from material energy. He has nothing to do with it, and he has to realize himself as pure spirit, Brahman, qualitatively equal with Supreme Brahman. So the solution is coming up, as Prabhupada in this purport explains, that one has to act that way, that the way Jada Bharat is acting. He is very much indifferent to his externals, and he is always wanting to serve Lord. And it is explained previously that he was worshipping Lord, remembering Lord in that way. So he one has to understand his original connection, his origin, his constitutional position, and act on those lines. Then he can gradually get disentangled from the current existence. Otherwise, we may always keep waiting for the right time for a peaceful situation to come up. So that's how it's explained, that how now for Yudhishthir Maharaj, of course, they are eternal devotees of the Lord, but in the pastime also, he has retired from his kingly duties. He has given everything, and he is no more interested in his kingdom, and he leaves. So this this sense of freedom from material, Prabhupada mentions, this sense of freedom from material relations as freedom from material engagements of gross and subtle encirclements makes one free to act with the servitor of the Lord, even though one is in the material world. This stage is the Jivan Mukta stage, which we here see for Yudhishthir Maharaj and current today for Jada Bharat. That is the process of ending material existence. One must not only think that he is Brahman, but one must act like a Brahman. So Prabhupada makes a very important statement. One who only thinks himself Brahman, and there is a section of people in spiritualist who wants to glorify, talk about, speak about Brahman. So Prabhupada mentions they are known as impersonalists. And one who acts like Brahman is a pure devotee. So one who acts, action is important, as a Brahman is a pure devotee. So also in first canto, in this regard, it's mentioned the difference between self-realization and material illusion is to know the temporary or illusory impositions of material energy in the shape of gross and subtle bodies and its coverings. These coverings take place due to ignorance. Self-realization means becoming indifferent to the needs of gross and subtle bodies and becoming serious about the activities of the self. So again, we see here how Jada Bharat is a self-realized personality, and this purport mentions that becoming indifferent from gross and subtle needs one should actually focus on his true self, that is a soul. Therefore, a man who is engaged in activities of the self is called a Jivan Mukta or liberated. The perfect stage of self-realization is attained not by artificial means but under the lotus feet of the Lord who is always transcendental. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that He is present in everyone's heart and from Him only knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness takes place. No, 15th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. When the living being desires to be an enjoyer of material energy or illusory phenomena, the Lord covers the living being in a mystery of forgetfulness, and thus the living being misinterprets the gross body and subtle body to be his own self. So these are little more details inside it, why we so much relate to our external world and our subtle and gross body, because we want to enjoy, and Lord facilitates by creating illusion of forgetfulness, and then we get further entangled. But by culture of transcendental knowledge, when the living being prays to the Lord for deliverance from the clutches of forgetfulness, Lord by His causeless mercy removes the living being's illusory curtain, and thus he realizes his own self. And then he engages in the eternal service of the Lord. And all this is executed by external energy or the internal energy of the Lord. So far the conclusion is coming that one has to understand his constitutional position. He is not of this world. He has to do whatever is bare minimum expected and then get absorbed in serving the Lord from wherever he is. And then gradually Krishna guides and helps him through his external energy also, his internal energy also. So Lord through his devotees, now previous verses mentioned about Yudhishthira Maharaj, now another devotee is Uddhava, is explained. So he is an eternal associate. But just to mention that how he is also on a very self, high self-realized person. Uddhava is, now Krishna is telling in third chapter, Uddhava is not inferior to me in any ways because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in the world to disseminate the specific knowledge of personality of Godhead. So one who just knows his constitutional position and works on it as a Brahman, acts as a Brahman, just not talks, he is not affected by three modes. So as we saw, how Jad Bharat is also not affected. And here it's explained, Uddhava is also not affected. And Lord finds him very close to him in his nature. So as the Lord is not affected by the modes of material nature, so a pure devotee of the Lord is also not affected by the modes of nature. The primary qualification for being one with the... that is the primary qualification for one being with the Lord. So the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse talks about this. Ihahasya harir dasya karmana manasagira Nikhilasvapi avasthasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. Anyone who by his action, mind and words lives only for the transcendental loving service of the Lord is certainly a liberated soul, even though he may appear to be in a condition of material existence. So this Uddhava is mentioned about in this, and Prabhupada mentioning this qualification. So one has to dedicate his words, minds, feelings, actions in remembering Lord and working for Him, going towards Him. then one will cross over the dualities and remain unaffected by three modes of material nature. And other examples, Prabhupada talks about six Goswamis. Six Goswamis were also in those levels. So this kind of consciousness, further, actually now we were discussing with other some devotees. So it brings us to different levels of tolerance. It's a very important question. Like in after coming to devotional service, people ask like how much tolerance we can exhibit. Now everyone has their limits. So it's explained that through one perspective, there are different levels of tolerances which one gradually develops, which may not come up if we try to say introspect, but when we try to walk on the path of devotion, gradually Lord reveals within. So first level, all these three levels, it talks about three levels of tolerance which are important for our existence, and we do see it in other devotees, practicing devotees. So they are exhibiting this from time to time. So first level of and all three levels, although one may find it are progressive or there is a gradation, but are important. Each level is difficult in its own way. So first level of Bhagavad Gita talks about is 2.14. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkada agama payano nitya stam sthidikshasva bharata. So translation is, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent happiness, non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons, and of course rainy seasons also. They arise from the sense perception, ocean, cycle of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So this is an external mode of tolerance explained here, that one should learn to tolerate the externals. Mainly here example is given of seasons, that seasons come and go and we are sometimes comfortable and sometimes not. So Prabhupada in this purport explains that during winters, it's very cold, but according to our custom we need to take morning bath. And during summers, it's very hot, but accordingly, a housewife and a maid or person has to cook in spite of the heat and tolerate the heat. So this is very natural. Only just thing is that mind doesn't want to focus on it. So I think Japa book, Burijan Pru explains that one of the spiritual nature of the soul is to tolerate. It has unlimited capacity to tolerate. It's only that due to getting conditioned, we don't want to tolerate and not have patience. So this is the one, this verse is explaining that naturally we have to tolerate so many circumstances, then why not focus and do it? Of course, Ashtanga yogis go to a great extent that in winters they stand in ice cold water, in summer they make fire, and in rainy season they stand in water. So many austerities they create to just undergo a realization that they can tolerate and are not affected by the externals and develop that kind of willpower and mindset. So this is one level of tolerance explained here, which one has to undergo. No one can escape and no one can say that, why you're asking me to tolerate or undergo a uncomfortable situation. So another level of tolerance is explained by Brahmaji. The famous verse, Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bhunjan evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapurbhir vidhan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. So he's explaining that one who earnestly awaits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So here we see that Jad Bharat is not creeping or criticizing that what is this destination, how Lord can be cruel. No, I am on my path way back to Godhead, and someone is, no, the destination or providence is sending a deer whom I am wanting to protect out of all goodwill. So it's nothing wrong intention in that, and I am getting entangled. So he is not in that criticizing mood. He is accepting it as his karma and is ready to suffer all things that's coming up. Of course, this is a step ahead of the previous one, the previous level which we spoke about, just tolerating the externals, which are also not easy. A step another is that someone is doing wrong to you and you're still tolerating it as your own karma and waiting for Lord's mercy. So that's a more optimistic and positive attitude, and it's at a higher level. So in this purport, like it's quoted that it's just a question of remaining on the path. Not just like in ISKCON, many devotees say that just keep on hanging on. No, like in irrespective of the turbulence, ups and downs, just hang on to the process. No, we may not able to put our challenges or words in proper words, but just hang on, and gradually things will come and go, and just wait for it, and you will become the, just like here example is given, if someone's father is very rich, if he just stays as his son, he will get his inheritance gradually, like he has to just stay with him. That's the analogy given here, and that's what to this high level of tolerance acharyas are telling, just stay on in Krishna consciousness and gradually you will attain that kind of mood also of tolerance. So, and the third level, of course, it's a more higher tolerance, is talks about the third level is again, first canto talks about in 18th chapter about Parikshit Maharaj. So it's called Tiraskrita Vipralabdha Shapta Shipta Hata Api Nasya Tadpur Pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhopihi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing, and even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. This spoken about Parikshit Maharaj, and of course it's very much relevant to Jad Bharat also. He was tried to be killed, he was on his deathbed only. And Parikshit Maharaj's case also, like he was cursed in this episode, it's explained that Sringi's father Shamik is thinking of Parikshit Maharaj in this way. This is a very high level of tolerance. Of course, these are different levels, but all are difficult, and in a way there is a gradation in these. But he mentions that although due to providence he is cursed by his son, but Parikshit Maharaj can counter curse. No, although they are Brahmanas, Shamik, Sringi, they are sages, but a devotee's power is more than them. Now we see an example of Amrish Maharaj and Durvasa. Durvasa is a very accomplished sage, but Amrish Maharaj is protected. Only thing, case both sides, which Shamik is also mentioning here, is that devotees don't use their power or their intention for their personal motives. They don't want for their personal safety or personal well-being, but for people at large. So they don't want to create a reversal, and they consider these things as Lord's order and desire. So, and other example in Bhagavatam comes, like there is a misunderstanding between Nimi Maharaj, who is a Kshatriya, and Vasishta. So there is a cursing, counter cursing, there goes. Bhagavatam mentions about it. So it's not like someone in lower status in Varnashram, if he is a devotee, he has a higher power. So Shamik is telling that Parikshit Maharaj can also access that, but Parikshit Maharaj is not wanting it. He considers it as a step next to go closer to the Lord, and as we see, as a result of that, Bhagavatam is coming into existence. That is where Shukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam, and on these pages we saw. So now, like Bhagavad Gita also talks about that. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from three modes. What can repression accomplish? So one has to understand his capacity of tolerance and disturbance and agitation, which he can take and try to practice whichever levels we spoke about tolerance, because these are important to remain steady in this disturbed world, which is always agitated by three modes of material nature. So even though this translation says, even a man of knowledge, you know, a learned person also acts according to his nature. He can act in some way, someone's footstep for time being, but ultimately he has to understand that he has to work by his conditionings, which he has developed over lifetimes. So accordingly, he needs to take responsibility of how he should carry himself. So academically, one may be very learned, but because of his long association with material nature, he is in bondage. So Krishna consciousness helps one to get out of this material entanglement, even though one may be engaged in his prescribed duties in terms of material existence. Therefore, without being fully in Krishna consciousness, one should not give up his occupational duties. No one should suddenly give up a prescribed duty and become a so-called yogi or transcendentalist artificially. So, Bhagavad Gita also makes, you know, out of many anarthas, talks about one very prominent anartha. There are many anarthas, like, so I just found this interesting. So, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. One may be thinking that we are talking too much, you know, Shastras are talking too much about lust. No, it's a occasional, you know, thing, but it is always in the background, in whatever we may be, you know, acting out of anger. It's due to lust not getting satisfied, or greed because of the same reason, or frustration. So underlying is, we may be talking about lust, but it comes in different ways ahead. So Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam talks about that. It is always a and no, this purport explains that lust cannot be satisfied by any amount of sense enjoyment, just as fire is not extinguished by constant supply of fuel. So there is a problem, like one is thinking to satisfy or burn or stop lust by putting fuel in it. So it's always there, but sometimes we become aware, sometimes we don't think of it. So it's, as the devotee says, Gaura Gopalapu says, mentioned, that happiness is a choice. Now you have to take an endeavor and become happy. Now you cannot become on your own happy, because our one of the verses ahead explains that lust is occupying senses, mind, intelligence, everywhere it is pervading. We are not aware of it because it's just like a hidden spy within the camp. So, and on all important positions. So we have to express our inability and become humble and be prayerful to the Lord. And because it is explained that this world is known as Maithuna Agar. That's just like in Agar is also Marathi word. It's known as bus stop. No, bus stop. Like, so this is place where the bus stops. So the material world is the place where you are entangled by sex, sense enjoyment. So it's explained that how in a prison people are bound with shackles, chains. But in the material world, one is bound by this desire of enjoying sense gratification. So, and that's how we are, when we are talking about Jivan Mukta or different examples, these devotees are working on it in a very mature way, remaining indifferent to it. You cannot challenge it. No, you will say, or I will say that I will face it. No, it's very great scale. And we have to ignore or learn to ignore the urges of the mind and become aware, come out of it and remain indifferent. As, it's a very striking thing. No, I found between Jad Bharat and his father. His father is Rishabhdev, as we previously mentioned. He also towards the end renounced everything and he became a dumb, deaf person moving in the cities and acted just as if he's a mad person. And similarly, that is how Jad Bharat is also acting. And it is explained that, of course, he was an incarnation of the Lord, but Ashta Siddhis, which are sought out by the yogis, came to him to be appreciated and he rejected. No, I don't want Ashta Siddhis. Because although he had done so much renunciation, controlled his senses so much, he didn't have his faith on his mind. He thought that if I will get some powers like that, my mind will end up creating blunder. So he didn't have faith on his mind and he completely neglected it. And similarly, that's what in the verses ahead, Jad Bharat is going to tell Rahuguna that please ignore the mind. Just don't think of yourself in terms of your mind. Neglect or ignorance is one of the things, is solution given by Jad Bharat. So we want to follow mind and its whims as we identify with it. But as Bhagavad Gita says, that we are not the mind. Then also, if we see in retrospect, even if we follow our mind, we remain dissatisfied. If we see people around, who may not be following the four regulative principles and everywhere, but are they happy? Maybe for a short time, but long terms. And there's a verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about it. I will conclude by this. Kama dinam katina katida palita durani deshas tesham jatamai na karuna na trapano na upashantihi utsrajyetanatha yadupate sampratam labda buddhis tamayata sharanam abhayam mam niyukshavatma dasaye. So the translation goes, O my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. O my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty. Recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened and now I am giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. And I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. So here it's explained that how, although from lifetimes we are serving our mind, who is a repository of all repository and storehouse of all thoughts and samskaras, which are always for sense gratification, but it is never satisfied. So the sadhaka is here praying that please help me and engage me in your service. So I would like to close for today. Any comments, questions? Quick comments and questions. We are already all over time. Yeah, ignore it. Yeah, ignore the demands of the mind. This is one of the solution given by Jada Bharat here to Rahugana, and previously we see in his father's case also, Rishabhdev also, he just ignored his mind. It's one of the ways, because we have to understand at some point that we cannot always work on line in line with what is mind demanding, because the desires are unlimited. We may want to fulfill one desire and think that okay, that's life, okay, but then it takes to a whole network of desires, one leads to another. So as I remember His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explains that on the ocean horizon, in the ocean we see one fish jumping out of the ocean, and it may appear like okay, that's only one fish, but inside the ocean you see there's a whole civilization. So that is how, if we think that okay, this is my one desire, okay, if I satisfied it's okay, but that desire leads to whole network of deep unsatisfied desires. And if we try to, it's not possible, one lifetime is not possible at least. So we have to come again and again until, so it's better to understand that it's okay. Let's ignore that. It's not suppressing or rejecting in denial. We have to understand we have our limitations of time, place. So in a positive manner, we have to ignore, learn to ignore the mind. That's not, yes. Yes.
In that case, if somebody is not behaving you properly, in that sense, you said that you have to accept that man. So, what kind of behavior one common man should adopt in with if somebody is not behaving properly?
Yeah, you either express him gently that he understands that you are disturbed by his behavior. He should be aware. He may be not aware of, or there may be some other reasons why he's behaving. And if you express and you really find that he is disturbed somewhere by your cause, then you express gently that please let me know what is that cause. It's just like one of the reasons. Otherwise, in spiritual terms, we are supposed to be humble and like not. Yeah, if he's okay explaining, then it is okay. Otherwise, nothing against him in spiritual terms. Like at least he must be aware that he is you are feeling disturbed by his behavior. That has to be conveyed. It shouldn't be argumentative where no one is not following the protocol of hearing and listening. So it has to be very maturely conveyed that if please convey you're feeling disturbed or irritated by my behavior or something, please let me know. Let me, that's clear, then it's next things will work out. Or spiritually, it's always like we has to be taught, and that place is like everyone is a prisoner here, everyone has his own quota, everyone has a disturbed mind. So it's just like in hospital, everyone is in undergoing treatment and pain, so everyone has their problem, and they may not encourage the doctors, whoever is a patient. So this is a not place of enjoyment but suffering. So everyone has his own baggage, quota, and his suffering. That way spiritually we can understand. Okay, I would like to stop today. थैंक यू सो मच. श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय. शिवलोकपाद की जय. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय.